Saturday morning, just about, eh? And literally my coffee. I'm like, so early, so vroeg in die môre. Ernest Page, welcome to Breakfast with Refilo. This is a familiar sound for those who live in the Atlantic seaboard, not just in the morning, but late at night. We understand it, it is illegal. And we don't ever see, you know, no one ever shows themselves, but we can hear the street racing that is happening on Helen Suzman Boulevard and other places. Tell us a little bit about this phenomenon. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, thanks. And I've got to admit, there's not that much information out there on this. I need to obviously tread carefully on this. As a car enthusiast myself, I do believe that oftentimes, a lot of these drivers are vilified by the officials, by residents, etc. But that doesn't mean, and I live in Bloburg, Big Bay side of the world, I like my quiet. So I'm as much, as the Karen word goes, the Karen when it comes to noisy cars coming past in the middle of the night, I'm not a fan. There are times and places, but I do think there's a difference between driving a car that might be a sports car, an enthusiast car, and racing illegally on the road. There's a big stretch between those two things.
Okay, this isn't an accusatory interview. As I said, help me understand the phenomenon. So it's a very firm sound. It's one that's very familiar. I don't think it's necessarily disruptive, but I am aware of it. You're right. I have many neighbors who are like, those guys are at it again. Frankly, I think it's too far from most people to really be much more disruptive than your neighbor playing a little bit of Taylor Swift. But there are concerns. There are concerns about, not just the legality of it, but when you're talking about a collection of very high, fast-paced cars on an open public road, there are various concerns. But first and foremost, I want to get to the passion. I want to get to the, if you are an enthusiast, like what is driving this? And who buys such fast cars in a country without an Autobahn? I'm just asking.
Exactly. And this is, as a motoring journalist, that's one of my arguments all the time. Why do we need cars that go 300 kilometers an hour when the speed limit is 120 k's an hour, when most of the speed limits are 60 to 80 k's. That's kind of always been the technical endeavor of manufacturers, of car makers. There's always someone trying to go faster. It's a human endeavor. It's a human spirit, so to speak, of us wanting to go better, faster, stronger, etc. So you're always going to get those cars, and it doesn't really make sense. And then you get the argument, yes, you're supposed to go to the track and drive it there. And I'm all for track driving myself. That's one of my specialties. But having said that, there hasn't historically been enough track time available. So what happened was about 7-8 years ago, there was a street racing issue, pandemic issue in South Africa, in Cape Town specifically. And we've got to use the word pandemic more carefully these days. And what happened was the city of Cape Town stepped in and created a space every single Wednesday at Kilani Raceway for drivers to come play. And that had a big impact on the street racing numbers dropping down. Then COVID happened. And because of legislation, Kilani wasn't allowed to open up properly, and they couldn't have lots of spectators there, et cetera, et cetera. Frustration grew for months in the community, and eventually the guys just started racing on the streets. Now, obviously, I can't condone that kind of behavior. But having said that, if there's no legal alternative for the people to go do their sport, if all the rugby fields closed down, what are we supposed to do for rugby players? You know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean, Ernest. The rest of us stayed indoors during lockdown. There were curfews.
For sure. For sure. And again, as I said, I'm not trying to justify the situation. What I'm saying is that there needs to be a viable alternative for enthusiasts to compete and to enjoy their cause. Now, that has opened up recently with Kilani. Kilani has opened up lately. I just don't think they're opening up at the frequency that it's needed to put pay to this problem.
Okay. So, I mean, we spoke to JP Smith, as I mentioned, in July last year, we spoke to him late last year, but he in July last year made a public call for people to stop breaking curfew to race on the streets. As he said, they are taking advantage of the empty roads during the curfew, but it's important to note that emergency workers and others may have permits to travel during curfew, and this could put others in danger. He highlighted the hotspots for dicing, Ottery and Athlone, Mitchell's Plain, Helen Suzman, and Strandfontein, Jacques Gravel, and Jan Smuts Drive. I guess my question then becomes, it is no longer the tight lockdown during which they needed to use all of those spaces. Why not lobby the city, or if we had to get the city to open the Kilani racetrack with greater frequency, could we not solve this issue?
Yeah. So this is the thing. I mean, I had a chat with J.P. Smith a couple of years ago about this exact plight, you know, and as with all other protests, you know, people go down the legal routes, go down the correct routes to try and get answers, try and get more facilities available, try and get more track time available. But then it doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen fast enough for that community. And again, I'm not trying to justify the action. I'm just saying that there's a reason for these things to happen. If the track was available, I would say at least once a week like it used to be, then potentially this problem will decline. But having said that, the street racing culture in Cape Town, it's big, man. And there is a thrill that comes with that kind of racing that you don't get at the track. Now, again, as someone that races at the track, I don't agree with that, but that's just kind of the way it is. But getting back to what's happening in Sea Point, I don't think we should conflate the problem of street racing happening in deserted areas, as an example, to guys revving their cars or driving cars that are loud in Sea Point on a Sunday evening.
Okay, I mustn't conflate the Sea Point racing with open spaces.
Yes.
Because
yes,
the Sea Point one is actually the dangerous one.
Yeah, so Sea Point one is the dangerous one, and racing there would be unacceptable. I think we can all agree on that.
No, certainly.
Yeah, and I know that I've got car enthusiast friends that stay in the area that say that it's a problem because it's not necessarily the racing there, I don't think. I think it's the speeding. I think some of the guys might be driving, because racing is, by definition, two cars next to each other at least, and then trying to see who gets across the finish line first. That's racing by definition.
Sure, but if this might just be sort of dog and pony show.
Exactly. Someone's driving their own car fast, that's not necessarily racing, that's speeding. So that's something that you know, that can be addressed, that's something that can be handled, speed bumps, more policing, et cetera. But I think oftentimes in Cape Town specifically, people think that there's this fast and furious culture where people are spraying lines in the street and racing all over Cape Town. That's not the case.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not going to be the one to say put speed bumps to a whole bunch of rich people with low suspension on their cars. but I think it might be a solution, or at the very least speed traps, unless people are happy to pay their way out. Ernest, this is a great way to set the scene. I will continue this conversation over the coming weeks because I think it is quite important. Ernest Page, please, motoring, we will do.
And if you were just one more thing,
yes.
I would like to continue this conversation. It's a nuanced conversation with a lot of depth.
Definitely.
10-minute segment, you know, certainly can't do justice to this topic.
No, we'll do panels and stuff like that. And also, we want to invite people who are drivers and enthusiasts just to give us their perspective, because theirs is obviously very important. Ernest Page is not just a motoring journalist. He's also a stunt driver and a high-performance driving coach, helping us get our minds around this.